Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to what we believe will be another very exciting episode. We know for a while now you guys have had your preconceptions about who we are. And in our last episode, you got to meet yours truly, Michael Natu, poet slash journalist slash dreamer slash candle waxer. And this week, we have the usual suspects. My bro, Stefan Campbell, soon to be Dr. Campbell. How are you doing today?
I am great, you know. I am great, bro. I am great.
Wonderful. And the legend himself, the man who has found himself in the hot seat, Karim Ellis, sales extraordinaire, real estate mogul in the making. How are you doing with me?
Good enough, bro. Good.
Just to give our listeners a little preview. So essentially, you know, we're doing a three-part series. Obviously, we have Stefan coming up next. But we felt that it was necessary to have you guys get a deeper dive, pause, into who we are. And so, the man you have known as Baby Future is the one here tonight. And I'll just get right to it. Karim, who is really Karim?
Karim Ellis is just a passionate, driven, forward-thinking, progressive young man.
All right, okay. So, put away the cue cards and just tell us who you are now. So that was fine. It's good. Just tell us who you are.
Yeah, but... no, man, but yeah, that's me. I'm a pretty straightforward guy. Tell you how I see it. What you see is what you get with me. I don't like to fake things. Once we click. I am someone that you can talk to about anything. You can confide in me about anything pretty much. I have a lot of relationships like that with people. But just cool.
I see. Well, we can attest to that. But, you know, I'm curious though. Because, you know, every legendary man has had his beginning. So, to you, what has been, if you can narrow it down to one moment, what has been the most significant and defining moment in your life to be? If you could narrow it down to one moment, what would that be?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you that there's been one moment. There have been series of incidents that have happened that, you know, kind of molded me into who I am and still continue to do that. One I'll tell you was the birth of my daughter, which was almost 2 years ago. That gave me a different perspective on life. One was when I joined a company back in about 2013, and that really changed my outlook in terms of personal development and personal growth, mentorship, etc. Going overseas and working, that gave me a different perspective on life as well. Yeah, there are just many little things that gave me different dimensions, and I got to look at life more broadly and openly than a lot of people have. You know, I've been exposed to a lot of things from as young. I mean, a lot of people think I grew up with a gold or a platinum spoon in my mouth. And, you know, that's never really the case. But, yeah, having been exposed and experienced different type of life and different type of living, different things molded.
You know, since I've known you, you've been one of the most driven people I've known. So I understand that element of you, but like the level of your drive is almost as if you're running from something. And oftentimes oftentimes it's perhaps because you've experienced the loss of somebody close. So you feel like you have to live life for those who can't live it anymore. Do you have any experience or anybody like that you've lost that you feel like you owe it to them to live your best life or be your best self?
I've lost close family members, but I wouldn't say they're a result of why I am how I am. To be honest with you, it's the ones who are living. you know, my father, my parents, you know, I take their example and I try to emulate it, and I try to 10x it in a sense in as short a period as I can. You know, I believe in each generation getting better. And I guess that's why I keep pushing and I keep running, because in my mind, I have to do better than what they've done. My the generation that will come after me that I create shouldn't be in the same position that I was. They should be in a way better position that I than I am in. So yes, that's why I am the way I am. It's not easy because I'm a type of person that, I'll tell you straight, I beat up on myself. Like, I literally beat up on myself. Like, if things ain't going how I think they should be going, or I fail at something. Not that failure is bad, because, you know, you fail until you succeed. But I'm one of those persons who take these things very, very, very seriously. I am extremely hard on myself. Anybody who knows me can tell you that. I tend to lock down a lot during these times. I get very antisocial, especially when I'm focusing on something. So I'm not the most I'm not the most fun person, or, you know, entertaining person to be around those times, which unfortunately is very often, because I'm always doing something. My mind is always working. I'm never not doing or never not thinking about something. And that's why I have a lot of problems in, I would like to say I have a lot of problems where intimacy and connection is concerned during relationships, because I just feel like I have a deadline that I need to reach before a certain time. You know, and there's just that target, and in my mind it's already set. So I have to do whatever I have to do, and everybody else can wait. It's probably a bit selfish, but in my mind I don't look at it that way.
Well, that's interesting, because most of our listeners, you know, the Men's Truth family, they seem to have a perception of you that you are the callous one. Would I be right to say that the perception of you, you know, you are the one who doesn't really care much about how what you say may come off?
Yes and no. You know, yes and no. I don't go out and I don't set out to hurt people's feelings or anything like that. I'm not that type of person. However, if something is shit, or if it's bullshit, or if it's garbage, which turns out to be the same shit, I'll tell you. And mark you, it might not be shit to you, and that's perfectly fine, but it's shit to me. You understand? However, I am able to also see that, I'm able to look at both sides of the fence. I'm open that way. However, call it selfish, but me still I'll go back with my side, which your side is shit. I'm one, again, in relationships where I tell people I always live by this statement: when emotions are high, your senses is low. So I don't make emotional decisions regarding anything, any part of my life, which is why a lot of people question a lot of things I do, because it's never coming from a place of being overly emotional. I'm a very practical and a logical thinker where things are concerned. So yeah, I like to break down things, and I like to say, all right, this makes sense, this no make sense, and I'll run it over in my head. I'll put it down on paper. I'll do it. I'll run the numbers. I'll run them in any situation. It doesn't matter what it is. And if to me it come out and it no make sense, then that's how it is to me. And I do that with relationships, finances, anything. So, however, I will tell you though that, as I said, I don't set out to hurt people's feelings or whatever. I can be a real sweetheart. So yeah, I can be a real sweetheart when I need to be, you know. But I'm just at in a stage of my life where I'm very goal oriented, and I really don't have time for foolishness and distractions, because I feel like even more now than ever before, the distraction, it's so easy to be distracted. You can literally be distracted and you're 50.
That's profound.
you can literally be distracted and you're 50. And when you reach that age and you realize, shit, I've been distracted for the last 25, 30 years and I haven't accomplished anything. And you have two kids or three kids and a wife. And your child is looking at you wondering, daddy, why we can't afford this? Why we can't have peak life experiences? You know, I don't want to be that person. And I don't want to be that father, you know.
So what drives you more, the goal or that fear?
Both. Both. I think both run parallel, to be honest with you. I'm gonna tell you straight, I fear not being able to provide the life of just freedom and a level of comfort and fulfillment for my family. I fear that. And I wouldn't say I fear not achieving my goals, because I have crazy goals. So I mean, I don't hit one. If I hit the other one close to it, it's a very good goal. You understand? So I don't really look at it that way. But I fear that. I fear being broke.
So you know, that fear, because, you know, you mentioned that, you know, a lot of people might think that you grew up, you know, wealthy. But then, you know, you're also mentioning, and Steph alluded to it earlier, you know, that fear then. When did you realize that this was something you were running from? You're running from that, but what is the pinnacle of what you're running towards? So in terms of, you know, you have this drive, you have all this motivation, and you're moving forward. What will be the point for you when you realize that I've reached?
When I know I've reached would be when I... That's funny enough, that's a good question. When I know I reached would be when I just know I can have whatever experiences and create what kind of memories I want, where whenever I want, without anybody stopping me, without a stress in the world. You asked me what led me to this thinking, and it's exposure. To be honest, I've been around people. I've been exposed to people who have the freedom life. And, I mean, they might not be the wealthiest people in the world or whatever, but the freedom is what I want. I am somebody who hates waking up and doing mundane tasks, you know, going to work and somebody telling me when to do this and somebody telling me when to do that. Or, you know, I hate that. I like to be free. And life, we live in a world where we can get so caught up in paying bills and going to work and doing all that thing that we don't really get to enjoy life. We don't really get to explore the world and, you know, just have these peak life experiences, to be honest with you. And that's the freedom that I want. And, you know, sometimes it takes you a while to get there, but...
Could it be then that your career aspirations, you know, all of those dreams, could it be that they've started to engulf all of the other spaces where you are now, not particularly focusing on the fact that you can have freedom in your relationship without reaching that pinnacle of career success? Could that be a possibility in your case right now?
Of course it could be a possibility. Of course it could be
a possibility. How strong of a possibility do you think? Do you think that, you know, this is something that you've allowed where you're like, all right, I'm going to be super focused, and although these are two separate things,
Let me tell you something, Natu. You see, I like the finer things in life. So
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I like the finer things in life. I don't like mediocre. And if I want to do something, I want to do it good. I want to do the best of it. I can't give you an example. When I go to a hotel, I don't want to go to a hotel and stay in the regular room downstairs. I want to go to the hotel and I want to stay in the best suite at that hotel. You understand? So yes, I'd still pretty much get the same quote-unquote hotel experience, however, outside of the room. You understand? But when you that's just me. When I pay for that sweep, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, man.
So yes, it could be engulfing my personal or whatever you said before. But it's just how I look at things. I want to make sure that I give the best to myself and to anybody else that's associated with me, because they also deserve the best. Now, mark you, I know I could be running myself into a wall because I could be chasing something that might never come to fruition. And I'm fine with that. However, don't get me wrong. In my chase for that, I have happened to have some of these experiences. You understand? So I do take time. So it's not like I'm just chasing and not enjoying any period of
time. So you stop to
time.
Smell the roses.
No, you might realize
that.
And
at sometimes.
Exactly. I stop to smell the roses at times. And I mean, persons might be listening to this, listening to me now, and they realize that it's kind of geared, the conversation is kind of geared kind of one way, which is mostly goal-oriented, kind of money-wise. And people might say, I hear a lot, you know, I am money-centric and all of that. And that's perfectly fine. What I value, I mean, I value building people up and I value adding value to everybody. You know, I mean, one of my mottos, and Steph here, it is always to add, give, and, you know, just add value everywhere I go. So, I mean, all of these are a part of who I am. But at the end of the day, I like the finer things in life. I want my family, the close persons to me, to experience these. And that's just how I look at things.
What would be the
soundtrack
to your life?
Funny as you said, and it's a song I listen from I heard it. I listen it like every time I need to pump up, and I listen to this song probably 3 or 4 times a week. It's the most played song. No, man, it's right now it's the most played song on my playlist for the last almost 10 years. And it's Eminem, Lose Yourself.
Arms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on the sweater already. Arms are heavy. Spaghetti.
My spaghetti
is nervous, but on the surface, he looks calm and ready, you know? That's my song. And I mean, when I listen to that song, you know, I get deep. I get deep. You know, there's parts of the songs that I don't agree with, which is like when he says, you know, opportunity come once in a lifetime. I switch that around, because opportunities don't come once in a lifetime, but you have to be prepared for whenever any opportunity come, you target it like it's the last opportunity you get in your life.
You know?
Exactly. And also, exactly, you create your own opportunity as well. So that's how I look at it. But I would say that's the song for me. I mean,
what makes you happy? We've heard about your goals and all that, but what makes you happy?
You know, funny enough, people might laugh, but I like making people happy. And what I mean by I like making people happy, I like making the people who are extremely close to me happy. I like quiet. Peace and quiet makes me happy. I mean, yeah, my daughter makes me happy. That's one, you know, can't leave she out. But I just like calmness. I like calmness. I'm not somebody who is very confrontational. I don't like a lot of noise. I'm just calm. I just like to relax, think. I'm a thinker. I'm always in my head. I'm a thinker and a doer, but, you know, I think it, then I do it. But, yeah, that's what makes me happy. But I like to add value to people, you know, whichever way I can help. And, I mean, I don't expect nothing back from anybody. I'm going to be completely honest. I give and I don't expect, period. I'm that type of person where I'll go out of my way and I'll give and I'll help and I'll do whatever and I won't expect nothing. As long as it's genuine from me, and I know that it added value to your life and you appreciate it, I'm completely fine. And I guess that's why people are so comfortable to talk to me, because I can tell you straight, I'm probably the least judgmental person you can find. I judge nobody because I have no right to judge nobody. You know, you live in a glass house, you can't throw stones, and me have a whole heap of glass house. You understand? So, and I mean, having an open mind on everything in life, like, I look at things completely different. Religion, as you heard in the episode with my father, and religion, relationships, every single thing I have an open mind to, and I question things. And if I can't get an answer to something, then I'm going to change how I look at it. You understand? So,
what do people often get wrong about you?
People often get wrong that I'm cold and heartless, and I really am not. I tend to be misunderstood a lot because, as I said, I may say things and they come off a certain way when really and truly it's not to hurt or to belittle anyone. You know, it's really just pretty much try to uplift it. But I guess I'm not the most refined tool in the shed when it comes to words, and I'm perfectly fine with that. But it's something that I work on. And, you know, sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. I also accept that, and I also try to work on it.
When it comes to you being so driven and doing all of these things, you and men like you, I think it becomes frustrating to know that you're doing all of these things for your loved ones, and then a loved one says that they want you to stop. You know, to stop and spend time, knowing full well that if you stop and spend time, that's less time getting the things that they would eventually want again. You know, and I sense like sometimes there's that frustration. And I understand, to be honest, you know, because it's like I am doing all of these things for you, and you're looking at all the things that I'm not doing, or you're not getting from me. Do you experience that frustration at some point?
Yes, I do. It annoys me sometimes, but I tend to not let it bother me, if you get what I mean. Because I don't dwell on things long, to be honest with you, because I'm always doing something. I don't have time to dwell on things too long.
When was the last time you had a good clenching laugh? And then what was it about?
Gut clenching laugh.
I know the last time we had one.
Man, I laugh every day. I mean, Steph sent a message in the group today and I was dying. You know, we have a group and Steph sent a message. I can't put the message out there, but I was dying.
I was weak.
I was like, yo. Yo, let me tell you something, man. These memes that these people are putting out nowadays, yo, like they're too crazy. But yeah, man, that's the thing, you know, Natu. Like I can be a comedian if you're around me long enough, you know. Like if I'm comfortable with you and you know me, know me, you know, not just looking on the outside. If you really get to know me, I'll have you laughing, and I mean, I have different dimensions to me, you understand? I have the comedic side, I have the serious side, I have the supporting side, and I can get empathetic and sympathetic when I need to, you understand? But I don't get too deeply in that zone, but I have all of those sides, you know?
How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as somebody who added value to people's lives. Yeah. I just want to be remembered as somebody who added value to people's lives, was a provider. Yeah. I don't need no big title or nothing. I just want to know that I impacted you in a positive way. Whichever way we encountered each other or across our paths crossed, as long as I added value to you, I'm perfectly fine with that. Do I have any regrets? Wow. I try not to use that word where I say regrets, because everything that I've done, I've been conscious of it. And though it might not have had a favorable outcome, I was conscious of what I was doing, and something else came out of that, that I learned something else. And had that not happened, I wouldn't have, I will tell you that, I wouldn't say it's a regret, but I will tell you that I've hurt people. I've hurt people that I wish I didn't hurt. And it's not hurt in the way that people might think. It's hurt in more of a way of not saying something that I probably should have said, or doing something I probably shouldn't have done. But do I regret it? No. I'm gonna open up and give a story. And I've never given this story. I don't tell nobody this. Nobody. So I'm gonna open it up and I'm gonna talk a bit of it. Long and short, I stole something from somebody when I was younger. The person pissed me off. I was going to prep school. The person pissed me off, and I don't know what happened, but I stole something. Long and short, I end up getting catch. And the people who caught me were my parents. For people who went to prep school with me, they'd probably know this, because I had to stand up in front of that entire class one morning and apologize to this person that they pissed me off. Now, no matter how young you think you are, that shit live with you. And that shit live with me to this day. Now, do I regret stealing the thing? No. Why I don't regret it? Because the lessons that I learned, you know, my ass get burned. You know, I got some good ass whooping. But separate and aside from that, the humiliation I've seen my parents witness that shit. And this is something, I'm telling you, this is something that I don't speak to nobody about. Because this is something that happened over 20 odd years, and it still burned me to this day. But who knows, if that incident didn't happen, I'd probably be a kleptomaniac or something. Yeah, you understand? So that one event, and what the outcome of it kept me from being something else that I don't know. I was embarrassed, and not only that, I wasn't embarrassed of myself, I was embarrassed of my parents, because they were there the morning and they were the ones that made me do it. You understand? And
when it's all said and done, what do you want to be written on your tombstone?
Yo, not too. Me not think about them someday. May I tell you the truth? No, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't think about them someday. I don't think about what color coffin I want. I don't think about if I want to get burned or go under the dirt or go in a sepulchre or whatever. I don't think about them something. Like, I'm going to be complete. I don't think about tombstone. None of them shit there. Listen, the life that I live, when I go, whoever is buried me put on that tombstone should be a direct representation of the person I was. To them and to everybody else who I've impacted. So whatever they put on it, when I look down from wherever I am, I'll know what it is. But I know it won't be bad.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare not to.
I get it, bro. But yeah, I don't think about them something. I don't think about death. I don't like funerals, and I try not to attend them. I keep all of them stuff far from my mind. I mean, it's one of the only thing that's certain in life. You know. Death and taxes. So
all right. Ladies and gentlemen.
What else? That's it? See, never did that happen.
After we save your life, man.
Come on.
The legend.
Please say, man, they ask me about if I like the breast of the boobs.
With Seth, continue to talk, man. I'm not anything, man. Say it. Say what you need for say, man. Call name too. Call name.
Come on.
Put yourself on the hot seat. Say what you said. Breast our ass.
Well, you know.
Feet are not included in this one. Breast our ass, sir.
Well, you know, I'm a little bit of both.
I was going to ask something, but I'm not going to do it. It's all right.
There's just something about a nice round butt, you know. But I mean, I'm not going to talk to a flat chest, like your chest.
What's the most clown thing you've ever done?
The most clown thing. Why?
I would plead the fifth.
You see?
Yeah, I'm not gonna plead the fifth I'll just say this. I've put on the clown hat and the clown shoes several times in my life.
The whole outfit.
The whole outfit. You understand? With extra makeup.
So Steph, get ready. We'll see you on the next episode.
Legendary.